Welcome to another episode of Rough Talk VR, a weekly podcast with in-depth game reviews, exclusive developer interviews, and the latest MetaQuest and virtual reality news. We join our hosts, the father-son team of D. Scruffles and Stratus today, as they spend another episode breaking down and discussing the world of virtual reality.
Hey, welcome to this episode of Rough Talk VR. Today we're joining you with an exciting VR news edition for several reasons. For one, right when we launched our last episode, boom, right away, some of the biggest news of the year dropped on Meta's end, and also a whole bunch of game updates, and most excitingly, selfishly, we have our PC VR set up.
Yeah, we got our babies. I got my Spoonelia.
Yeah, so it's a loaded episode, to say the least. You actually did name it Spoonelia.
Yeah, I sent you the screenshot.
Yep.
Spoonelia.
When you're setting up the Windows device, and they're like, what do you want to name it? Spoonelia. That's funny.
Yeah.
No, I was glad that you
had to, man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot of people donated to the cause, but I'd say those two in particular, meaning Spoon and Amelia, probably hit that pavement the hardest. So
it was one of those situations where the computers came and we had to clean our rooms. We had to make space. We were a little underprepared, but we got it all set up quick. I rearranged the podcast room on my end. You did some setup at your house. And
yeah, mine's in the kitchen, dude. With the monitor on the table right now, just so I can play it.
And we have successfully booted up PC VR through the Oculus app, through AirLink, like through the Oculus store, and also through Virtual Desktop on Steam VR. Both instances with really no hiccups. I mean, we've heard some horror stories about some people's PC VR experiences, but I think for us, maybe the most complicated part was getting the drivers of the motherboard set up, which there was a little hiccup for both of us.
Yeah, what's weird is when I went to the Intel driver helper, whatever,
it said that you had everything, same with me.
Like, no, the only thing it updated was the Bluetooth.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, you need Bluetooth. I'm like, well, what about this driver? And it's like, no, you already have that. So I'm questioning if the hang up on the install, it was technically installed, but
it just didn't display that. Yeah, no, yeah. I had the same impressions. But for actual PC
and
VR,
a lot of other people as well.
No hiccups. I mean, we're not using optimized routers. We're both using like our default broadband.
I have more
router.
Hiccups with the Meta app than I do the using Virtual Desktop and Steam.
For me, it's been seamless on both ends, but my router, like my computer, is plugged in directly through Ethernet, I think your Wi-Fi to your router.
Yeah, correct? You know what's crazy? My download speeds on the computer, I'm hitting 500-600.
Mm-hmm.
On the low, maybe 280, 300 megabytes per second. So, I mean, I technically exceed the minimum recommend. Like, I don't even get a warning. And I've had no glitches or anything. I am going to plug in direct with the router to the PC. But those little Wi-Fi antennas in the back of the computer do their job, man, because my router's upstairs. Go figure that out. So
yeah,
I'm blown away.
Again, our rigs are good. I've had no hiccups. In fact, even last night.
Nice. She's a beautiful one.
We finally went into Grimm on PC VR for about an hour, you know, wandered around a bit, tried to find each other, died a couple times, got a welcome introduction to the game, was like, all right, there's so much potential here. But I went. My computer's upstairs. I went downstairs, wirelessly connected to my PC, and had zero gameplay hiccups.
No, dude. Like I said, I'm for what I'm putting and asking of the machine to do with where I've got other devices located, it shouldn't technically be working as well as it is. But since you brought up Grimm, what'd you think?
Oh, so much. Just, like I said, so much potential.
We haven't spent a ton of, dude, my first experience, like full disclosure, I walked all around because why not? I'm like, I know I can build shit and I'll be doing that, you know, at some point. But I first want to like feel this planet because we know it takes place on like Mars. And I looked at that sun and I was like, holy crap. I literally could feel how like.
the heat of it.
And if you could breathe out in that environment, just how like hot that air would be sucking in, like you turn your lungs into a pizza oven, like geez Louise. But I'm fucking blown away.
It's just crazy to me that like the technology of it, that I'm able to play PC VR wirelessly connected to my computer downstairs across my house and not have hiccups. I mean, we're it shows to me that the best solution to having seamless PC VR experience is just overcompensate with your rig. Get the best rig possible. You'll have no hiccups.
Yeah, no, I think for the money, I'm pleased.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that it's doing what I want it to do, which was like, full disclosure, it's like, what's the first thing you want to do on PC VR? For me, it was, I want to run Grim,
mm-hmm.
period. There's nothing else that's like, obviously I'm going to do After the Fall and Hellsweeper and shit.
And Ghost of Tabor.
Well, Ghost of Tabor was actually one of the tests, but I did that through the
Oculus app.
Yeah, Oculus app.
Because we still own it.
For Grim, it was 100% Steam. And the fact that I'm able to play that, dude.
Mm-hmm. And cocky us that we thought we were going to bump into each other. Well, we weren't. We didn't actually think we were going to, but we thought there was kind of a chance. And like, hell no.
We
both just went into biodomes.
We're learning, though.
Yeah.
I went into a biodome and...
The first time you played.
Saw a big old furry thing in the background. I'm like, what's that? And then, like an idiot, I'm standing there. And then I realize it's a fucking bear. And it's full-blown charging at me. And here's the thing. I was not too far away from the exit.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, is he really coming at me, you know? And by the time I realized it, there was no running away. I started to run, and then I got eaten by a bear.
Well, check this. I'm in a biodome last night, and I'm like, I'm looting. I'm doing okay. And then all of a sudden, my screen starts turning red around the sides. I'm like, I have a whole tank of oxygen. It's not even draining in the biodome. I even say to you, I'm like, dude, I'm dying. I'm dying. So then after that, you know, I wander around a little bit more after I died, of course. And then, you know, I log off and I'm like, how did I die? Like I hunger or something that I couldn't see. Now we're getting messages in our Discord this morning from Spoon saying, you know, Spoon messaging us in our Discord saying, sorry, D-Scruffles, I may or may not have killed you last night.
Nah, there was no may not, I guess.
There was like nobody in the server. He could probably see who the people in the server was. He knows who he killed. He probably has the logs of it.
Be able to air travel to wherever you want to go.
Oh, man, I got murdered by Spoon on my first day. You know what? But that's probably the best kickoff to Grim possible. Get murdered by the creator.
I'm happy with getting eaten by a bear. I'm, you know, full, you know.
I'm happy you did because you did that before I went in.
Yeah.
So then when I went in, you were like, watch out when you go in that biodome, there's going to be a bear.
There could be.
And
Not all of them, I don't think.
There was a bear there when I went in, and you're like, don't let him see you. He's going to charge you. So I ninja'd it. I was like,
yeah, dude, that bear's no joke. Obviously, you could probably kill it, but not when you first go in.
Hey, how dark does that freaking planet get at night? With the stars out.
Look beautiful.
Yeah,
the ambient noise is beautiful, and you know it's a game in it's not even like there's no, it's just in testing, that's it. So it's like there's so much work being done on it.
It feels very good.
I'm just pretty stoked to be able to be like,
you can tell there's a big learning curve,
1,000,000%. But I'm just happy that I can be part of seeing the progression unfold at whatever point. Normally, like if it jumped to like open beta or some shit.
Now, you're just glad to be a part of that.
Yeah, I don't care if it was just the planet and nothing to do. But
are you glad to be a part of it to see the progress, or because now you have a jump start to be a warlord? I think it's the latter of the two.
I like both.
Yes,
options.
Yes, I get to see all the updates all the time through the progression.
Well, dude. But yeah,
meanwhile, planning to take over the server.
I hope so.
We were already talking about it, like, oh, dude, so wait, what, you build in these biodomes? Is that what goes on? We're already plotting.
Yeah, I know 0.1%. I know how to walk around.
Yeah.
I know how to, I've gotten familiar with, like, okay, there's your inventory.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of finding shit is obviously crucial. Being able to gather shit, very crucial.
Knowing the map.
You know, man.
At least there's that circular road. I feel like that circular road's going to become essential for navigating, like knowing where you are.
Yeah, but I'll tell you right now, I already know that. So what do you think I'm going to do if I have the
highway
the
patrol?
Ability? I'm going to be off that road waiting for motherfuckers to be walking down that road.
Oh, dude, do you want
thinking
to?
Like it's the yellow brick road.
When we establish our clan, so we have our base, do you want to have people do highway patrol that not necessarily going to kill people, but we're going to rob you of everything and you better have something on you? Otherwise, well, then you get shot.
Well, you'd have to have continuous rotating groups because you'll run out of oxygen. So you're going to have to go back to the biodome to replenish the oxygen.
There's probably items that let you like breathe. I found a space shoe. Obviously, it didn't do anything with my oxygen depletion, but I'm like, maybe there's something here that you can find a way to not so much run out of oxygen.
So far, it's brilliant.
And it is pretty easy to run to a biodome and refill up, you know? So you're asking me my thoughts on it. I was like, so much potential, and also this game's going to be a problem because it's fun, and there's such a sandbox of potential for
This is no which way or form a game that you think you're going to go in and just like, oh, I'll just do an hour. You know, it's like, no, there's shit you gotta.
Mm-hmm. Especially with people like me and you with the type of imagination, like you could give me two pencils and I'll create like a whole.
You know what my dream would be?
Whole dialogue of them, whole story. What?
It's almost doable just because of all the different time zones. But have it where, like, if we can get a group of people together and treat it like the old IRCs, where there must be like three or four in there at all times and just a continuous, you know, build.
Well, you see the defend, Rough Talk server. We have people destroy. In East Coast. We have European. Yeah, we have Australian. We have worldwide, baby. So.
The beauty achievable. Of Australia is somebody it's working doable. There is working in our tomorrow.
That, exactly. No, we got the shifts
so
covered.
Now you're fucking with time. So I think it's brilliant.
What day did you die on?
But as I say that, there's going to be a multitude of Rust players that are already waiting for this to come out. And they're already organized in what they do.
In my opinion, so. Once that game has the purchasable button, once you can hit buy and download, is really when the news is going to spread like wildfire.
Yeah, and it's already, I mean, dude, there's over 8,000 people in the Grimm Discord.
Man, imagine if
that's fucking ridiculous.
Grimm is, Grimm. Spoon is definitely one of our bucket list interviews. If we could get him, hype up Grimm a bit. I mean, not that it needs to be hyped up. Just answer the 100 questions we had, because even last night we were like holding back, like, shit, do we ask Spoon about this?
I try to bug him as little as possible, because dude, the guy's fingers are on fire, you know, just programming all day, every day.
Yeah.
As far as I know, but he's like the interview unicorn. Can't find any interviews with Spoon.
So I'm very happy to report our PC VR experience. So far, we just pretty much set it up, played a couple, like an hour together, 2 hours on PC VR. Haven't really like dove in gaming-wise too much, but performance-wise, we've been able to set it up and have open it, run it, play with no hiccups. So we're doing good. I'm happy. The future is bright. And then I referenced at the start that this, you know, loaded episode because our PC VR. And then also one of the things I referenced was that at the start of last week, the same day our episode dropped, the biggest news of the year, arguably on MetaQuest side, on the Meta side, comes out that Zuckerberg put out a video announcing that they're renaming the Meta operating system for the MetaQuest to Meta Horizon Operating System, OS, and it's going to be available to other third-party headsets. In fact, there's already other headsets in the works from companies such as Lenovo, Asus, which are going to be their own headsets running the MetaQuest or the Meta Horizon Operating System. And then there's also going to be a limited edition Xbox-branded MetaQuest headset as well, and it's going to be available for other third-party companies not announced yet. And, you know, Zuck was, like, talking about specific use cases for each one. Like, there could be a lightweight fitness one made more specifically for media viewing. The Xbox one, maybe it comes with, you know, just Xbox controllers out of the box. But it all runs on that Meta Horizon operating system. So that's huge, you know, the Meta opening up their operating system ecosystem and expanding it to other devices. That makes it easier for other hardware developers to get into the business. They only have to develop the hardware side. Then the operating system is already done, already being updated and worked on. And then also part of that news was that they're phasing out App Lab in multiple steps, which we'll talk some opinions on that. But App Lab is going away. It's going to be in a multiple phase process, with the first phase happening later this year, where you're going to be able to browse App Lab games directly on the store. So you go onto the store page, there's going to be an App Lab section that you can go and browse, which we've long advocated for, instead of just needing to search the game. So that's going to be phase one. And then phase two, which is going to happen later this year,
will be the complete phasing out of App Lab and the App Lab requirements and policies integrated into the official store. So basically no more heavy curation, no more how do I get on the store. Pretty much to get on the official store is going to be like how you get on App Lab currently. So that was huge news. The operating system is going to go to other devices, which are already in the works, and App Lab is going away. So pretty big stuff.
Yeah. It's huge news.
Yeah, I know we were talking a little off air.
I just want to circle back to the first thing before we jump on the App Lab thing. I think Meta doing what they're doing was part of their bigger plan anyways, as part of the metaverse, to be able to, they've established themselves at what they've done. And then you look at the companies that they're, although I have concern over Lenovo.
Well, just based off some computer laptop.
Two for two with laptop failure. I'm just saying.
We'll save that for another rant.
Unfucking believable. So it scares me that they're in it because I know they make a good product, but whether or not it breaks or not, it's another fucking
problem.
When
you see that headset 50% off, don't buy it.
But Asus is legit. Yeah, no, don't. For real. I'm just being an honest, as a consumer.
Yeah, we've had two bad Lenovo.
Two for two, and they're great computers when they're working. But anyways, I think it was initially part of their bigger plan for the metaverse. And essentially integrating yourself into all these other companies, you're just established yourself even further as the
leader.
The leader in
the operating system leader.
So it's genius. But the App Lab thing, I'm mixed on it, dude. I think App Lab is brilliant. I love the way they have it. Adding the search button to the store was the browse button thing that we've said since App Lab started was, and we talked to Chris Pruitt. We got a really good.
He's actually the reason that I'm not 100% convinced on getting rid of App Lab.
But
mofo sold me on it.
He really educated to like why they don't do that. And it made sense. So I had even said after that interview, I said, you'll never hear me complain again about not having a button on the, but.
Go browse Steam VR.
They now will add the button. And then I agree with, I think you said off air when we were talking, is like, that's where it should stop, you know, and still have App Lab. And so I don't know what's really going to happen.
Well, there's two things that I think App Lab needed. Exactly that. A section on the app, on the store page to just view App Lab games, which, boom, it's getting for a little bit before it fully goes away. So that was needed. And then honestly, it just really needed more transparent requirements to advance to the official store so developers could plan appropriately and game plan to update or hit those benchmarks or those milestones. The biggest issues was the lack of visibility and the unclear requirements for curation. If you could define the requirements and you could add the visibility to it, there's no reason to get rid of it. It's actually good to have that bit of curation. I snuck in, you know, go view Steam VR. You go browse the Steam VR section or even the Steam store in general. It's a hard, hard market to get any type of visibility. And sometimes the games that get visibility is just weird. It's, you know, a bunch of porn games on the VR section.
No, I've had Steam for over 20 years, but I'll be the first to admit, It sucks in that department.
For visibility?
But it also has worked, you know, amazingly well.
Like Manor Lords.
For in the mix. But you just, man, you got to scroll through fucking so much bullshit to find, unless you know, just like App Lab, unless you know exactly what you're looking for. But like if I want to just search by genre or something, it's like, come on. But you want anime porn. I mean, Steam's the place, man.
So I don't know.
That's your thing.
The operating system news, amazing. App Lab, I would have liked to see just more reworkings and development on versus completely.
Well, my concern is like, since the VR space, you know, the majority, it's indie devs, right? And they already struggle enough with their ability to make games. And now, I mean, it's become more of a competitive space as well. And the marketing aspect is huge. You know, I joked, I'm like, PR companies are going to cash cow this till the cows come home because it's going to be so much more difficult to me to get your game marketed for the store versus, you know, being on App Lab and it being very select. And so we'll see.
Especially when you look at how games have started to use App Lab for early access and open beta and stuff like that. It's like, I don't know if we should be getting rid of the system versus reworking
it. It's not broke. you know, definitely not. But
I just think it needed love and tender. It needed care. It needed some just reworking.
It just needed a button.
It needed some changes, not to get rid of.
People could click on and be brought to it.
But hey, not for nothing. At first, I didn't like the App Lab curation, and then I became sold on it. Maybe I'll end up getting sold on the other way. I'm just speaking my initial.
There's no choice.
Yeah, I'll come around to an event when I'm used to it.
Stop supporting App Lab devs or go with the flow. But we know we're not going to not support. So
as of right now, that's my initial feel on it, for sure. But still big stuff. You know, the operating system news is huge,
mm-hmm.
to say the least. And beyond that, they threw some shots at Google, too. Where they said that
deservingly, though, Google took shots at them.
They're working on building a framework to allow mobile app developers, you know, who have like flat screen mobile apps on your phone, to easily port them over to the Meta Horizon operating system. And they threw a shot at Google saying, since, you know, we've offered this to Google with their Play Store, but they don't want it. And we're open to this whenever, but since they won't, basically we will. And that wasn't word for word, but along those lines. So it was nice to see some shots thrown in that regard, too, because the other month, Google hit them up being like, hey, use our operating system in your devices. It was quite whack. I feel like that they got rid of App Lab, though, because they were getting some smack, because Zucks has been going on podcasts and interviews really talking about how open the Quest ecosystem is in comparison to like Apple and such, and some App Lab stuck on App Lab developers. Didn't take too kindly to that. Like, what do you mean that your ecosystem is open if I'm stuck on App Lab?
Well,
I think due to that criticism and response is partially why they're phasing out App Lab. That's just my opinion of why.
I would have to say, well, who's the developer? What game did they make? Who's the developer? Because I go on App Lab.
I've seen a lot of developers say it.
Well, I understand. I just don't know
off the top of my head the name of them.
I can go on App Lab right now.
Dan Clifton.
I can go on App Lab right now and pull 10 games that, if it were up to me and I was the deciding factor as to the game getting on the store, I'd be like a flat no.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
So it's like if the majority of those developers are the ones, you mentioned Dan. Dan has a great product. He's had multiple great products.
But his issue goes to my point before about unclear requirements, which I agree with. Just define the requirements to get on the store a little bit more clear. Not throw the whole...
I don't know, man. I've heard mixed. I've heard both unclear requirements, and I've heard others say that they clearly were given the direction that they need and things they have to change.
Well, that's very specific cases. There's no example for any old App Lab developer. There's no definition of how to get on the store.
I've never once been privy to any conversations that have taken place between developers and Meta themselves. So I can't even...
I'll be the first to say, based off of everything I've talked with developers, is definitely unclear the requirements for 99% of developers on App Lab, what they need to do to get on the official store. But define that. Don't abandon the whole system, because App Lab is a good system. It, you know, just maybe needed some...
I have kind of a thought on maybe why they don't. And that's because, like, let's say a game meets the requirements, like A to Z, but it's still just not a good game.
Well, now it's getting on the store anyway by getting rid of App Lab.
Well, that's why earlier I said I'm not.
Yeah, I know. We're both on the same.
All right. So
we're both on the same page about it.
I think it's going to hurt some of the the up and coming developers a little. And it's also going to help some other. So it's going to be a mix. I've got concerns. That's all.
I said at the start, I said it a million times, and I'll wrap up with it on this thought. Just needed some changes.
Just needed a button.
Just some changes, not to get rid of. But nonetheless, still huge news. Probably the biggest news on the Quest side of the year. I mean, the fact that we're going to have multiple headsets running the Quest operating system, not only from Meta, is quite big. And then in other news, Ghost of Tabor news, it's wipe season. Out of nowhere, wipe is coming May 1st. So have fun. Trader levels got raised. I think there's some extra cash. They said that they're giving some DLC items to be used until, you know, the wipe actually happens. So May 1st, go crazy. Couple days away. Wipe season, it's a hit and miss time. Some people don't like it because, you know,
I take it off.
Trader levels are unlocked and stuff like that. But it can still be fun for what it is. It's just the war
season,
zone.
Season of the op.
It's op, right? Season. That's all you hear is boom, boom, boom. So yeah, wipe season right around the corner. They didn't say why. I wonder what's coming with it. Usually when they wipe, it's for, you know, updates and stuff like that. But maybe it was just maintenance. We'll see. But they also said that the next wipe will be sometime later this summer as well. The next wipe after May 1st. So big ghost to Tabor News. And that they also announced some new gun partnerships as well, too. So always check out the Ghost of Tabor Discord in their announcement section. That game is so
over 100,000 Discord members.
They crossed that benchmark. What was that last week? Like mid last week. So crushing it.
It's actually they've actually surpassed it too. I think there's almost 700 more in there.
And actually, besides Wipe just being on May 1st, Tabor Radio, the official Ghost of Tabor podcast hosted by yours truly, us two, that drops the first of every month. So our next episode of it will also be May 1st, interviewing Mr. Witty, the awesome community manager over
wicked,
there.
Wicked cool, dude.
Dude, the Discord's over 100,000 people. That's a loaded endeavor that Mr. Witty has, plus the socials and...
Haven't talked to anyone from the studio that I wouldn't personally want to hang out with.
Mm-hmm.
So
I will give a spoiler on this one.
Wicked good people.
It's a good one too. He's a good energy.
Mm-hmm.
He carries that one on us, not because we needed it, just because he had so much to say. So I like Mr. Witty a lot. That's a fun one. Also coming out May 1st.
And he is witty.
He is. And he's a mister. He's mm-hmm. a Mr. Witty. So cool stuff. Good story too. Really good story.
Mm-hmm.
He starts the episode kind of telling his story. And there was part of me like, I hope that this story lasts 1 hour because it was so good. You know, it didn't end up going the whole interview, but you can tell he's a good speaker. And then besides Ghost of Tabor, Contractor Showdown also officially launched this past week.
Yay.
With some improvements from the beta.
It visually looks better too.
Shooting seems a little bit easier.
Better. Yeah.
I don't know if it's like gameplay changes they made or if it's the difference between like before it was in beta and the people going in were like hardcore shooter fans knowing what they're getting into, you know, really looking forward to it. And now it's on the official store. It's on Steam. You're getting more players, like average players in there. So I don't know if it's a average skill level difference of the game or gameplay changes they made, but we're getting kills.
We came in third
last night. Yeah.
I mean, that didn't happen during beta.
We got kind of high in beta, but not with kills like that too.
No. My been first time we jumped in, I think we each killed like 3 or 4 people. Mm-hmm. So it was like,
we've been getting kills every game.
It's a great game. Pop one for adults.
Yeah. Matt Sarah loved it. You know, remember that the other, like a month ago,
I'll kill the shit out of him.
You say that, let's see. He'd be a fun one to squad up with. Cause you know, he's high energy.
He's the ultimate nerd.
You know,
I think he starts off all like tech videos with what's up nerds. But he doesn't mean it disrespectfully.
No, I love Matt Sarah.
Matt Sarah, he's got that city attitude, you know?
When you hear him talk about VR too, it's with such passion. It's with such like love and energy too.
The guy,
it's contagious.
Remember the show him and Dana had?
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the name of it.
Looking for a fight.
Yeah, and like literally every fucking week someone's going to fuck with Matt Sarah. Like of all people on earth,
this
right?
Big meatball looking guy.
What? You're looking at Dana White, Ed, yeah, right? And this fucking just dude thick. That just looks like a bulldog with no hair. And you're going to go out of your way to fucking fuck with him?
UFC Hall of Famer.
Are you nuts?
Former UFC world champion.
Same thing with,
I'm surprised.
Forrest Griffin. People would fuck with him in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Dude.
I'm surprised Meta doesn't try to do collaborations with Matt Sarah. Because here he is. He's going on Joe Rogan Experience, one of the biggest podcasts in the world, without a doubt. And he's sitting there screaming.
Why do they have
about,
they got Suck? Was it Matt who?
You know, because Matt Sarah's
Suck's hanging out.
But Matt Sarah's a cool guy. He's just still doesn't just because you have one doesn't mean screw everybody else. Matt Sarah, collaboration with
him. I agree with you. But Zuck is that's his thing right now. He loves fucking going down to the ring and
that's more the reason to be with Matt.
He's having fun, you know?
I don't understand that logic one bit. I don't know. I don't even know. I don't get what you're saying.
Yeah, whatever. It doesn't bother me, man. I'm just saying I kind of get it. He's running a gym, traveling all over the country.
Oh, don't get me wrong, but do a little live stream with him or something.
Zuck had some time, you know?
UFC welterweight, former welterweight champion, playing VR, screaming about it. Throw them on your YouTube channel or something.
There's a lot of UFC players who play VR.
Mm-hmm. So I saw one UFC fighter raging on Ghost of Tabor
on Twitter the other week. And then by the end of it was like making up with Scott and, you know, like, you know, I get it. Basically, he was raging about some shit. Rage. Scott and Mikael Kom also start commenting. Amazing job at like
calming
person management.
Yeah.
You know, really get a feel of the situation. Okay, what happened? Why are you upset? Boom, boom, boom. And it basically ended up with it with the fighter. His name's Vince Pichel. He was basically like, look, it's just because I love the freaking game.
Well, I mean.
And Scott goes, I get it. There's been times I've screamed about my own game, about things needing to get fixed. Like, I 100% get it. And everything was cool. You know, it was really cool to see.
And the fuse of the professional fighter is pretty short, you know? So it doesn't take much, I think, to set off some dudes.
Mm-hmm.
And the passion you have to have to be willing to go into a ring and, like, sacrifice your fucking face.
Mm-hmm.
As a sport, you know, in your joints and your hips and your toes, mm-hmm. It's like if it can break or get torn off, it's going to happen. So I get that passion,
mm-hmm.
But no, good for them for calming the situation down.
Yeah, that's not easy, especially as you said, a passionate fighter. But there's a shit ton of fighters that love VR. Max Holloway,
mm-hmm.
He loves VR. But yeah, it's cool stuff. So Contractor Showdown.
I haven't seen Snoop Dogg in VR yet. I do love that he'll stream and just play people, mm-hmm. though. Play like Madden and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Playing with Double JJ.
So Contractor Showdown officially out now on the MetaQuest and Steam VR.
We dropping over there by the church, G.
So we'll do one or two more, then we'll take a quick ad break. And then in other news of things that came out last week, Walkabout Mini Golf's newest DLC, Passport Venice, officially launched.
It's some audio.
And as always with Walkabout DLCs, freaking amazing. Probably one of my worst scoring courses. Not how I would rate it, like how I actually physically did in the course. I think it was like plus 20 or something terrible like that. You absolutely smoked me. I even did it twice. The second time I did it, I was like, this time I'm really going to unlock hard mode, and like did marginally better.
I did worse the second. I did 4 under the first time.
And yeah,
I think
but
4 over the second.
You started to do ridiculous shots because you're like, I already have it unlocked.
Yeah, that's right.
So
forgot.
I'll stick up for you there. A pretty difficult course for my play style, but still visually amazing.
To beat the hell out of the ball?
Yeah. I wasn't the best. A lot of corners to cut. But really fun one. I still had a fun with it. It actually, because it's so hard for my play style, I want to keep going back into it because it's a challenge for me. But visually, it's great.
Yeah, I mean,
they have it in this small little section of Venice, too. But then you go, like, explore, and you're like, holy fuck, they built so much. But, like, the whole course is in this little section of it.
Made me not want to go to Venice.
Why? Because of how compact it was?
Very compact, and then I have plumbing questions. I have a lot of plumbing questions. Like, where's it all going? Because you saw it's all canals.
What happens if everybody flushes at the same time?
I need it to poop. Oh, no, you do that over there. Right over the dock. I need it to poop.
No, but great, great course. As
so
always.
So much hidden little shit going on, too. Like, you can play it. The balls are freaking hard.
I was just about to say it.
Damn you, Edward.
You know what? The balls are probably hidden way in those other areas that, you know, it's not.
I knew when I found the first one and I saw what color it was, I was like, all right, it's going to be
and
like
where
this,
it was.
Huh? Yeah. I'm like, this is how we're going to start it, are we?
Well, Edward.
It's so well paid. It's a fun one to do accents in. The sound score, like always, is absolutely spot on. But if you ask me to hum it right now, I can't. In it, I'm humming it the whole time we're playing.
Mm-hmm. This is a thought I've struggled to express before, but no real, like, new gameplay features in the sense of, like, nothing untraditional, like lasers or
anti-gravity
or freezing or anything like that. It's all, like, physics. It's all just angles and stuff like that. Does that make sense? It's a more traditional course in that regard.
Yeah, they didn't take too many. There was nothing they did
that you couldn't see in a real golf course.
You couldn't do in real life.
Correct.
So you could have made every hole for hole, and it would have been the same. Unless there's one I'm not thinking of.
Off the top of my head, I mean, that's
even the 18th.
It's all like realistic mini golf.
It's all
functions.
Possible.
Yes, yeah. It's all realistically possible. Which, granted, you could make a laser, but I mean, come on, that's not realistic.
No,
not feasible.
You'd lose money in balls.
Exactly.
Because every unless you had it in the structure. Look, if you your ball, you lose your ball, you're playing with two halves or you're not playing.
Or you pay for it.
But you know that wouldn't work.
Mm-hmm. But great stuff. Great stuff.
You could do it with a water jet, though,
mm-hmm.
and just put like red light through it.
What's crazy about this one, too, is, I mean, there are some courses that you know are coming because they announce them. But this
they love doing that.
This one got kind of like announced and dropped. It was announced, boom, coming out next week, and then it dropped.
There's some, I think they're like themed IP courses and all that. They'll probably go the extra mile to like build the hype for it.
Mm-hmm.
But
like
I think
the Meow Wolf.
I think they take more joy in surprising us with what's coming next. Because I saw some people like, oh, I thought we were going to be getting Laser Layer 2.
Mm-hmm.
Or something like that, but they're always leaving you guessing.
Great stuff, though. I had a lot of fun with this one.
Yeah, man.
I definitely want to go back in because I haven't officially unlocked the hard course yet. So that's bothering me. I still have all the balls to find.
If you want to play it, I'll be more than happy to let you play it off of me.
And we mentioned this last week, too, but like we got to finish up some Demio, too. I've been loving going into Demio as well. Now that we got PC VR, I'm tempted to go grab Dungeon Full Dive as well. I just don't know too much of the differences between the free and the paid version and how much of Dungeons and Dragons I already have to understand to actually get enjoyment out of it, but I'm tempted. Basically, what I'm saying is I can't wait for Resolution Games to come out with their Dungeons and Dragon game.
You know what's coming out soon?
What?
Non-VR related.
Oh, what?
I know you'll have interest in it. Autopsy.
Oh,
PAX 2 years ago?
Yep.
It's finally coming out.
Made for VR, in my opinion.
It was so good.
It would be so good in VR. I mean, everything about it could work in VR.
Yeah, it was. I think any first person game like
all
that.
All the photo. I mean, the game would actually be way better in VR as well. Too.
Autopsy.
And then I definitely do. Speaking of flat screen, since we're doing that, I've been playing a lot of that Undisputed game we checked out at PAX the other year well. Yeah. Been playing the career mode on it.
I'm going to get Mannerlord.
I'm tempted to, man. I found out it's from a solo dev.
I'm already sold. Do you see the fucking graphics on
it? It's
that
a solo dev. He did some outsourced work, though, like contract, you know, people working on it temporarily. But for the most part, it's a solo dev, I found out. That's crazy, right? I hope that guy, the first Steam payout he gets, I hope he fucking feels so good because he's number one on Steam, at least as of last night.
Dude, if he's a solo dev.
Hats off. I love those type of stories to find out somebody just had this artistic vision, this game that they wanted to make. They did it, and it hit number one on the store. Flash screen.
Can I go back to Grim?
Right? That's going to...
Because you're going to watch an unfolding when that game hits the market. There's already people talking Game of the Year.
Yeah.
You haven't even tried it.
Let's see.
And that's just based on conception.
And then two more that launched last week as well. Arcade Paradise VR, which we interviewed Sam Clay, the producer of it, the other week. That launched on the official MetaQuest store last week. So awesome stuff there.
He was a cool dude.
And then also a mixed reality visual experience called Astra from Atlas 5. I know them most from Madrid Noir. That's where we first came across them.
Good movie.
One of the best animation and just overall movie.
All ages.
Development studios working in virtual reality. They crush it with any film. If you see something coming out from Atlas 5 or their VR specific wing is called Astrea, Astrea. I mean, I love them. They're arguably my favorite. Everything they do is good. So Astra launched last week. I haven't checked it out yet, but Henry Stockdale, who hangs out a bit in our Discord sometime, writer for Upload VR, I read his article on it. And he said it's a bit shorter, but it's a really good experience.
No, visually, it's going to be nice. So
I think it's $9.99. I'm definitely going to check it out. So Astra VR launched as well, too. So great stuff. Busy week. We'll try to come back and wrap up all the news quick because, as always, we have an interview coming up after. Let's see who we're talking to this week and who else we have coming up later in May. I think that we might have some tricks up our sleeves.
We don't say ever who we're getting, but
this we might have some tricks up our sleeves.
This one will be fucking ginormous for me. And you.
Yeah. I don't know for everyone else, but for me as a fanboy, it will
said
be.
That, yeah.
So as always, before we take our ad break, let's give a huge shout out to our Patreon supporters on our on-air shout out to you tier. Huge thank you to Asim, Amelia, Earth Witness, Carson, Generic Vibes, TPZ, Jake, Crispy, and Shoes.
Thank you all for your continued support. You all rock. As well, you can join that list. Go check out the link in our show notes to join our official Patreon and our official Discord server. Our Patreon has some cool listener perks like on-air shoutouts, access to an exclusive channel in our Discord server. You can also get your name across the bottom of the screen on a rolling ticker. So a whole bunch of cool stuff like that. As well, like I said, you can find the link to our Discord server in the show notes as well, too. Discord server, we always say it, place to be. Whole bunch of great VR discussion, game meetups, scheduled game meetups as well as spontaneous ones. Whole bunch of book discussion, movie discussion, music discussion. Overall, just awesome, positive community. You'll hear the good mornings, good days every day. You know, people ask how they're doing. It's a really good community. So go check out the Discord. Go check out the Patreon. If you're on YouTube, if you're on RSS feed, on audio feed, smash that subscribe button. You know, follow us, subscribe, whatever it says on your app player. On YouTube, like, comment, share, tell your friends, scream it from the mountains. And we'll be back with you in just a moment after this message from our sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by the Spring Cleaning Champions Manscaped. This season, make sure to groom your carpets and the drapes with the leaders in below-the-waist grooming. Clear out that winter bush with Manscaped's Lawnmower 5.0 and watch your confidence bloom like the springtime flowers. Embrace the season and join the 10 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with our special offer. Go to manscaped.com and use the code word RUFFTALKVR for 20% off plus free shipping. After using Manscaped, I can finally say I have caught the spring fever. Introducing the season's champ, the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. Their fifth-generation trimmer features two interchangeable next-gen skin-safe blade heads, a standard one for taking a little off the top, and a new foil blade to go smooth wherever your heart desires. It also features dual LED spotlights to guide you through the darkest winter debris. Navigate with confidence in your delicate areas. Hate making a mess? Not to worry. This bad boy is waterproof. Shave in the shower, in the bath, or in the ocean. Spring cleaning doesn't just apply to the nether regions. Get the full grooming experience with Manscaped's signature Beard Hedger Pro Kit plus Handyman Electric Face Shaver. Whether you're looking to craft your signature look or clean up that neckline, these are always the right tools for the job. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code word RUFFTALKVR at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code word RUFFTALKVR at manscaped.com. Nothing like a little spring cleaning in your pants.
And we are back. So speaking of Arcade Paradise, they're made by a studio, Wired Productions, which you always love their logo, course corresponding with the name of their studio. It's a little fun, Wired, and then it's a razor blade. I'll let you use your imagination there. We know who is in the UK is what we'll say.
I was around in the 80s. I remember well.
So Wired Productions, it's cool. They're primarily a flat screen studio, but they've dabbled into VR.
They're doing good.
The Last Worker VR was made simultaneously for flat screen and VR. And then, of course, Arcade Paradise was originally flat screen and just got ported over to VR. They announced their next project coming to virtual reality called Dig VR, which watching the trailer, I think it's like a 45-second, one-minute trailer they put out. But it features actual gameplay footage, which is huge thumbs up. I never like when trailers are just like the name of the game and the sky in the background and you don't know what's going on. But right away on viewing this, I was like, dude, this is a game for you. This looks a little like Power Wash Sim-y, a little bit like Lawnmower Sim, a little bit like those Sim genres.
I'll take any one of them.
Yeah, just with digging, it looks like. Looks like you're... So Chadwick in our Discord has posted some of the toys he plays with at work, being like things that dig and stuff like that, and you've always commented like, oh man, I would have so much fun with that.
Oh yeah, bucket loaders and bobcats and shit, bulldozers.
Now it looks like you'll kind of get to do that in VR.
Well, I already can do it flat screen, both on PC and Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm happy to be able to, it's not called Dig, I play construction game.
But a game like that is your point.
Yeah, a lot more advanced. But for entry level, I'm all over this one.
To make you laugh a bit, I guess it kind of sticks with Wired Productions' theme of making your ass work, right? Because it looks like you're on a construction site. Like, they hand you tasks. Like, it doesn't look like you're just free digging.
No, there'd be no reason for that.
It looks like that you're going to have a teamster. You're going to have the lead. He's going to be telling your ass what to do.
So we'll see.
Clocking in, getting a paycheck.
Well, if it's a union.
Yelled at by the wife when you get home.
If it's union gig, better be careful what you say because I'll file a fucking grievance.
But nonetheless, Dig VR coming. I don't think they said when exactly it's coming, but.
Can't wait, though.
The fact that it was announced is cool, man. It's a studio that has VR on their mind.
Mm-hmm.
And they're continuously putting out new titles. And one that looks like they read your mind for what you would like to see in VR. So cool stuff. And then another game kind of like that too, that was announced coming to App Lab later this year. Mudrunner VR.
Excited for this one.
Looks like you tow things through the mud. You do a whole bunch of just mud driving, it looks like.
I mean, if it's like flat screen, you know, it could be as simple as, hey, you just got to get from here up the hill. But it's not a game for everyone. I'll say that right off the bat.
It's a game for you, though.
Yeah, I love the flat screen. I don't mind like having to get out of my truck and hook up fucking cable to a tree and get myself pulled out of the rut because you can't get. And that's the reality of how the game is. It's like you're going to be going like 2 miles an hour. Tires are slipping.
It's like driving on mud.
Driving in fucking unbelievable mud. With a truck that's, but what's cool is it's usually riddled with DLC. So there's a lot that they can go with after they come out with it. So I'm excited for it.
And
it's my type of game. I fucking love it. And
I did make a speaking error. I think I said App Lab. I don't think it's going to App Lab. I think it's going to the official store.
Did make
later this year.
I would say it would make sense, but that's not always the case.
Yeah. We just talked so much about App Lab earlier. Slipped out like that, but Mudrunner VR coming soon to the MetaQuest platform. I'm excited. Some good games coming already for the second half of this year. I mean, dude, we're 4 months in and look at some of the releases we've already had in 2024. So big stuff around the corner with Dig VR and Mudrunner VR. And then another one that I've been hyped for, it launches May 2nd on App Lab, Mannequin, the next game from this Fast week. Travel VR. Yeah. $19.99 as well is going to be the launch price on it. Interesting to see Fast Travel kind of get app labbed, but it shows you no one is immune to curation.
Nope.
Fast Travel, one of the most established publishers and developers in VR. Sometimes they act as a third-party publisher, and sometimes they develop their own in-house games like Vampire.
Meta will app lab their own shit.
They do. They do.
You know, it's like, hey, you didn't make the cut, man.
it's crazy. But, you know, Fast Travel Games, they publish games like Guardians Frontline, Ghost Signal, and then they make in-house games like Vampire the Masquerade Justice, and their next one being Mannequin, a 2v3 kind of hide-and-seek game.
Mm-hmm.
It looks real interesting and launching this week on May 2nd, so I'm excited for it.
Yeah, I can't wait to play this one.
Yeah, I'm itching for it.
I like it conceptually, so usually if I like it conceptually and I know the studio making it is good at what they do, then it's going to make me happy.
Absolutely. So that's an awesome one. And then one of the bigger announcements from last week for upcoming games, I know it was a big announcement because you're getting text messages from your coworkers that don't have VR asking if you heard about it. But the next game from Servios, a pretty big game studio, most known for me in VR, myself, for Creed, Rise to Glory. A pretty fun boxing game, but they announced their next VR game, Alien Rogue Insurgent, and it's announced that it's coming for Quest 3, PlayStation VR 2, and PC VR. Coming, no official date, but coming this year or so.
This is one that I admit, like, not all new games, and I'm like, oh, I have to play this PC VR. But this one, I'll play it standalone and PC VR.
Well, for the comparison.
Yeah, man, because it has real potential. It's going to be scary.
Mm-hmm. It's an alien game.
Yeah, man.
And Servios is a good developer. Scary. What's interesting is the announcement says coming to the Quest 3.
Mm-hmm.
So I take it as a Q3 exclusive. I mean, no Quest 2.
Yeah, I don't. We'll see. I don't think it's coming out till holidays, though. The end of the year.
Well, I'm even skeptical of that. I wouldn't be surprised to see it come out next year. The only reason I say that is because their gameplay trailer was nothing. Their trailer was the name Alien.
I got faith.
But they announced that it's existing.
Yeah, I do. And I think it's in print. It might be coming out.
It shows you.
It would suck if that got prolonged because it's probably one of the titles that they're gearing up for holiday sales. So we'll see.
Yeah. It's just funny how some games really have to push gameplay, like Dig VR. You know, they really had to show you the gameplay because it's a new IP.
Where's your shovel?
An existing IP? Alien, they announce a VR game, shows zero gameplay, and you have coworkers texting you mm-hmm. about it. It shows you the power of a good IP. Nah, man, so many good games coming soon. I keep seeing Nicholas Sutrich in our Discord, one of the writers over for Android Central. He keeps posting how, you know, he's previewing Homeworld VR, and that's not out yet, and I don't have access to it. I'm so freaking hyped for it. There's so many good games coming out, especially for a strategy fan like me. Mentioned it the other week, I never dove too much into Homeworld at all. Actually never played it, but it's a real-time strategy game coming to VR. I'm hyped. I want it. I want it ASAP. So much good stuff coming. And another cool one that was announced, it's called Laser Limbo. Dude, it's a co-location mixed reality game. It's available now in open beta on App Lab. Mm-hmm. And it's cool. You can play it solo in mixed reality. Or if you have two people in the same mixed reality area, you can play it PvP or you can play it co-op. So it doesn't look like the most like in-depth game in the world, but like there's not many co-location mixed reality games at all. So this is one. I even said it to you during the trailer. I was like, this would actually give me a reason to be like, hey, bring your headset over and we'll do a round before we podcast it or something. It looks pretty fun. So cool stuff.
I mean, I'll try it. I don't know how much it'll sink in as my cup of tea.
No, because it doesn't fit our use case too much. Usually we're remotely, but you think of like siblings who each own a headset.
Mm-hmm.
Like, come on. Or two friends that each own a headset. They get together and now they're playing. The fact that this type of genre is starting to come out, it only takes one or two really good games before we're like, dude, we gotta do some co-location, which, geez, besides this, the only game I can think of that supports it is Demio. Which is very low movement.
Walkabout doesn't?
Not co-location mixed reality.
Oh, mixed reality specific. Okay.
Because
It does support co-location, doesn't it?
I don't think officially, but it works. Meaning, like, I played in the same room with my girlfriend.
Yeah.
Playing Walkabout. We played it with you as well, too. It was a fun time. But I don't think it's like, I don't know. But for mixed reality, the only one I can think of besides this is Demio, so... This technology, it's starting to roll out. And then speaking of Nicholas Sutrich, who's teasing Homeworld VR to us so much, he got a freaking pretty big exclusive interview on Android Central last week with Meta's head of AR, hyping up their AR glasses that have long been rumored to be coming out in 2030. I don't know if that timeline has changed at all, but according to them, demoing the AR glasses has that same wow moment as, you know, the first time demoing the OG Oculus Rift.
Mm.
Like really blowing people's mind to a whole new technology. Which granted, VR did exist before the Rift, but reigniting that, you know, and so it's exciting. I'm curious. 2030 is really not that far away. It's half a decade.
Who knows what'll happen by then?
And it could. The reason I say is because if they're demoing it, if they know that it has that wow feature, I'm skeptical it's 5-6 years away then.
I have no idea.
So
2030 is a long time.
The rumor.
But I mean, I get what you're saying. It's not like forever. 6 years.
You know, you look at 6 years ago, that was 2018. It doesn't seem like that long ago. And the rumor with the AR glasses, what Zucks always said, is that it'll be AR glasses with a wristband input. Like a neural input, obviously nothing connected to your brain. It just uses neural signals from your wrist to
today.
Yeah. You know,
who knows?
I'm down to cyborg any part of my body except my brain. If you want to give me like a new hand, I'm down.
I'll take the brain first. Cause then you can live forever
or you die.
I don't, you know, when they perfect it,
that's what I'm saying. Like,
I don't want to be a guinea pig for it.
You can guinea pig my, you can guinea pig my hand. Not my brain, though.
I don't want to live without a hand. You live without a brain, you won't know it. You live without a hand, it's going to be a daily reminder, like, what the fuck was I thinking?
I really thought we were at this point technologically.
Why did this seem like a good idea? I should have known when it was in, like, an auto garage that this is probably not going to be the best operation for me. Not like Cyberpunk, it where you get the little implant, put a little drive into your skull.
So I was relieved to find out when they said neural wristband a long time ago that they didn't mean like brain implant neural wristband. They permanent mean like injection. No, just a little bracelet. Dude, AR glasses, like even the Meta Ray brand bands, I talk about it with you, I think every week. I'm like, dude, I'm so tempted on a pair. Let's see. So
a little pricey.
Yeah. So last piece of news I got on the list, the Meta's AR and VR division revenue, their quarterly revenue, saw a 30% increase driven by Quest sales. So I wonder how much of that by Quest sales they mean discounting the Quest 2 to $200.
Well, that's and a that huge shit, part.
And that shit flying off the shelf like hotcakes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a, dude,
it's such a steal price point.
It's a good deal. It's working. It's obviously showing them some positive sale numbers. And it's the stepping stone before the 3. So mm-hmm. I think a lot of those people are going to get Quest 2s. And then months later, they're jumping on the 3. So it's a win-win.
Yeah. So good stuff this week between, you know, the Quest operating system news, all the games to come out, Ghost of Tabor Wipe, you know, Contractor Showdown, let's go. Mannequin right around the corner. Dig VR announced. We got PC VR all set up. What a week. And then there was Walkabout Mini Golf's newest DLC dropping. Yeah. Astra launching, Arcade Paradise, Brazen Blaze open beta. Did I mention Brazen Blaze open beta? No, I don't think I did. Brazen no. Blaze, a game that it was on our Rough Talk VR gaming showcase. We talked to Alberto Moreno, one of the producer for it. Awesome guy. Alberto is awesome. Game made by My Dearest. It's a 3v3 PvP game. It's launching on open beta now on Quest. You can go join that open beta by visiting their Discord and signing up, you know, whatever open beta sign up stuff that they have there. And, you know, you can check it out and get some early impressions on it. So loaded week nonetheless. I know that there was a meditation app you hopped into called Door Haven, right?
We know I'm a sucker for those wellness apps. Mm-hmm. I love the concept of it and being immersed in VR. It's like, it's a game changer, especially if you get an active brain like mine. Mm-hmm. So the last one we really talked about and loved a lot.
Mindway.
Yep, Mindway.
They even sponsored an episode. I mean, a month.
Still doing their thing, putting out, I mean, they do groups. They do sit-down sessions, like little fireplace chats.
Fireside chats.
But this one is fucking really good, dude. Mm-hmm. I might only can Your Haven.
Your Haven, yes.
Your Haven.
We got a message like, hey, you want to check this out? I've been working on this. And always you're like, up for trying. You know, I'm a sucker for
wellness apps. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, my only full disclosure beef, and usually if something is subscription, I don't even want to talk about it. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's like, we're totally honest. We've seen some shit. We saw something. We won't even mention it last week. We're like, yeah, I don't.
Hell no. We were going to talk about it and then like, we read into it and we're like, fuck out of here.
It's over $300 a year. You can kiss my ass. So this is at least affordably priced. And then I'm like, well, what would somebody actually pay to have a good space to actually meditate? So $5-6 a month, not the end of the world. I'm still not a fan of that model, and I'll say it. But the program itself, home run. Mm-hmm. The aesthetics in there, like, you know, you're new, you first go in, you're going to be taught like a little something. But they're going deep with this, it seems like, with real therapeutic benefits. Voice actors that you can tell are legit as fuck, dude. It's like that voice that you'd want to hear every day. And I already know how to breathe to meditate. So I just went in it with the like, okay, I just, you know, let me see what they got to offer. And it's brilliant. Mm-hmm. It's visually good. The water instantly stood out, and then I heard the sounds, and I'm like, this is going to do it for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And it's on App Lab, and they do have a free trial. So you can at least try it and then know, is this even worth? But I would challenge, if you did try it, you probably are going to fall in love with it.
Yeah, I don't like subscription models for games and apps and stuff either. I'll side with you there. Fitness, I got enough bills.
Fitness I don't like.
That's why I liked Les Mills Body Combat. Yeah,
all in
$30. One. Boom, awesome coaching. Probably some of the best coaching I've seen in a VR app.
Or do the single price model and just do DLCs like the rest of the freaking world
correct.
Does.
I don't want to think something's free.
Yep.
That's a huge bias I have, a reason I don't touch free apps. You know, like games like Cards and Tankards. Like, oh, why did we stay away from it so long? Because Cards and Tankards is an amazing game. Same with Gosh Gravity.
In-app purchases, you know.
I'd just rather fucking pay $9.99 or $15.99, whatever, $14.99 to charge me.
Yeah,
I don't charge them monthly.
That was my only beef with with your Haven. I love it. Again, the sound. It's just the perfect combination for wellness. And you look at their roadmap of what they're planning on doing, it's only going to get better. I just wish it was like, I don't care. Charge $30 if that's what you got to charge.
If that's what it's worth, I'll pay
for the ball
it.
And wax. Or charge, you know, $14 and then have DLCs that'll open up other experiences catered to.
Correct. But don't charge me $5-6 a month.
Yeah, I'm just.
And that shit adds up.
But I can't deny it's a good app. So I definitely want to talk about it.
You know, but if you do want to spend $5, you can go throw that on the Rough Talk VR Patreon. Just saying.
Hey, Uncle Vinny will call you. Help you get motivated. Why don't you get out of fucking bed, huh?
Hey, and stay tuned.
It's time to go to work.
We're under a year away from the next Rough Talk VR Gaming Showcase. Yeah. That's going to be the first.
It begins.
The first Friday in March of 2025. Stay tuned. Big stuff in the works here. We got PC VR. Whole bunch of new games to check out.
This is the most unpredictable year of Rough Talk, by the way.
New stuff keeps coming. Stay tuned for Ghost of Tabor Wipe. Stay tuned for the next episode of Tabor Radio.
Mm-hmm.
Stay tuned for what else we have planned this week.
Stay tuned for next week.
It's always fun in the world of virtual reality. The fact that we can do a whole hour podcast.
I hope next week comes through.
Yeah.
If it does, I'm good.
We have the fact that we can do a whole 1 hour episode each week of just new shit in VR it shows you how ever evolving this industry has been. Yeah, 2024 has been a wacky year.
Not slowing down for us personally.
It's been a wacky year.
Yeah.
So a loaded year for the VR industry and a wacky year for us. But nonetheless, if you've been enjoying the episode,
make it wackier.
That's who we are. A bunch of wacky folks. So subscribe, rate us 5 stars. If you've been enjoying the episode, subscribe and rate us 5 stars. Check out our Discord. Check out our Patreon. If you got $5 to throw away on wellness apps and stuff like that, check out the Rough Talk VR Patreon. Get some on-air shout-outs and access to our Discord server and stuff like that. Other than that, stay tuned with what else we have planned for you this week. And enjoy the rest of your day, too. Ciao, ciao.
Ciao, ciao!